Good morning. We are still talking about how as Christians we are to respond to this crazy, confusing, and even disturbing times in which we're living. And today we want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. And let me read that. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. It doesn't say may come, it says will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Okay, so it starts off saying that in the last days, and of course everyone wants to know when are the last days, and we're not told exactly, you know, it's going to be on such and such date or whatever. We can look at the clues from Scripture, and we can say that if we're not in the last days, we're probably getting pretty close to entering them, you know. But I think we also need to kind of say that the church, from the very beginning, has always had difficult seasons. And God has used them to strengthen the church, to rid the church of impurities, and rid the church of false securities of this world, you know, like money and prestige, to give us an eternal point of view, to give us a burden to share our faith. And also, I think these difficult seasons have served to shake off those living phony lives. It happened in the early church, lots of persecution. There was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD that was very confusing for a lot of people, even though Jesus had prophesied it. There's Roman emperors that were horrible toward Christians, not all of them, but some of them were. There are false doctrines beginning to permeate the church. And as you go a little bit further, when there was this marriage between the Roman Empire and the church, starting probably with good intentions, with the Emperor Constantine, but you ended up with a state-supported church, and it brought about a real sickness in the church. Yet, even during these centuries, really, there are pockets of true believers all through this period. In the time of the Reformation, more people were killed for standing up for Jesus and biblical truth than even during the early church period. Then there was the colonial period, you know, the time where of European expansion and colonization, and true believers were scoffed as they stood up against the corrupting forces of greed and making money. During the period of communism, many died for their faith. And by the way, I know I'm probably skipping sometimes centuries at a time, but the point is all throughout church history. And even today, there's persecution in many countries. In fact, more than ever, actually. And things are going to get worse. It says, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. So this passage has always been relevant, but more so as we approach the end. Now, this passage really describes people in the last days. We usually think of difficulties we, in the end, associated with kind of the non-people things, earthquakes, natural disasters, wars, droughts, famines. And when we read Matthew 24, when we read the book of Revelation, all that is true. But also, we have descriptions of people, like in this passage, of what people in the end times are going to be like. And we should probably say, too, that this description also includes those who are within the church, too. Not everyone, but some. And that's why this warning was given. Also, you know, that's biblical, that the spirit of the age begins to creep into the church. Jesus talked about the great separation at the end of the age, you know, the wheat and the tares. Matthew 24, when Jesus is talking, he talks about that in the end, most people's love will grow cold. And he was actually talking about including God's people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to what? Deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." So in the end, there's going to be a falling away as well. And you know, sometimes it gets kind of confusing because we're saying, this is going to happen in the last days, and this is going to happen in the last days. And really, when we look at the last days from a biblical point of view, there are a number of things that are going to happen all at the same time. There's the birth pains that Matthew 24 talks about. And those would include the wars and earthquakes and natural disasters and the droughts and the famines. And if you kind of throw in what Revelation says, the plagues, you know, and that's one of the things that's going to happen at the end. The birth pains, then it just gets worse and worse and worse. Then we also see, and we just talked about it, that the love of people is going to get colder, harder, and even uglier. And we can kind of see this just if you kind of turn on television, you kind of watch political ads, you know, and I think some people, they just harden themselves in a way to protect themselves. But that's going to be the condition of what's going to be happening at the end. And then there's that separation within the church, you know, the dividing of the wheat and tares. But also, there's the period at the end, it's going to be the time of the great harvest, where people from every nation are going to be coming to the Lord. And then there's the glorious church, the purified church, the bride who's made herself ready for her bridegroom. So these are, it's like there's a number of things that are all happening, and they're all happening at the same time, and one helps the other. Like, obviously, when the church purifies itself, there's going to be a greater harvest. Separation of the wheat and tares at the end of the age, that helps kind of purify the church. So all these things happen at once. How does it happen? You know, we don't know, but watch and see, because it's probably going to be, we may already be seeing a lot of that starting to take place. So let's take a closer look at this passage. And we can't talk about every one of these descriptions of what men and women will be like at the very end, but let's focus in on a few, and they all kind of overlap too. Well, first of all, it says in verse 2, "For men will be lovers of self." You know, sacrificing and thinking of others first is something that is going away already, isn't it? You know, the attitude is more, what's in it for me? You know, what's best for me? You know, in fact, we've been called the me generation because it's all about me and what I want. You know, if necessary, we'll walk over others to get what we want. You know, if people are no longer serving my interest, then it's okay to get rid of them. You know, every man for himself. And that's the spirit of the age at the very end. And very frankly, when I read this, I think, wow, this is happening already. Even in my lifetime, I've seen such a difference in the way mankind, the way they love self. But it's not just lovers of self, it's also lovers of money. You know, money more and more is becoming the driver of all decisions, or most decisions. It's what I live for, getting more. More money, more possessions. And the super wealthy, you know, they're driven to get more and more. And you think, hey, they have everything. But it's not just them. even those who don't have, you know, it becomes almost, it's an obsession now to get more and more. And this is going to continue to increase. There'll probably be violence between those who have and those who have not. In fact, already there's a lot of tension. And I'm not talking about just within one country, but, you know, the poorer countries of the world versus the richer countries of the world. A little bit later, we see lovers of pleasure. So there's lovers of self, there's lovers of money, there's lovers of pleasure. And yeah, that has a lot to do with being lovers of self, doesn't it? You know, but it's what pleases me and what makes me feel good right now. And there's a big spectrum here. There's the sexual pleasures where there are no limits now. There's alcohol and drugs and just substance abuse. Why do people do that? Sometimes it's to kind of drown out, maybe, you know, feelings of depression, but a lot of times it's to get a high, to try to, it's seeking pleasure. But it's also living to have pleasure and to do what I want. And nobody's going to tell me otherwise. And you think about it, today, there's so many options when it comes to sports, when it comes to hobbies, when it comes to travel, when it comes to entertainment. And, you know, not all those things are bad, but if that's what we live for and that's the priority in our life, we become a lover of pleasure. You know, most would rather spend time in pursuit of pleasure rather than in pursuit of God. And that's why, you know, there in verse 4, it says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But it's other things too. We see a lot of different words here. There's, and I'll just kind of group a few of them together. There's being boastful, arrogant, conceited. In other words, you never make a mistake. We've got to keep up the image. You know, we're too proud to humble ourselves before other people. You know, and so we live this world where I think my ideas and my opinions and my points of views are superior to everyone else. And what happens when everyone thinks that way? There's a clash, isn't there? You know? But you know what? Wow, this could be 2-3 messages in itself. But when we look at the scriptures, we see that God opposes the proud. You read about it in Isaiah. You read about it in New Testament. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, king of Babylon. In Daniel 4, a chapter is devoted to where Nebuchadnezzar, he was looking around and thinking, wow, you know, I am so great. You know, I've made this great Babylon. Look at me. And what did God do? You can read the whole story in Daniel 4, but basically, God saw to it that he was humbled. He actually lost his mind for a period of 7 years. And he was out in the fields of the, you know, the woods and wilderness, just kind of, you know, just like he'd gone mad. And so one thing, whether we're Christians or whether we're not Christians, God is opposed to the proud. And it's going to be a time at the end where there's going to be a lot of pride. There's lack of self-control, reckless. In other words, we're living in a day, and increasingly so, and it'll be more so, where people will say anything, do anything, if we feel like it. You know, there's no control of our words, our emotions, our deeds. It's reckless. It's the spirit of the age. And what happens if everyone's doing this? There's going to be a problem, right? Ungrateful, it says here. Gratefulness, being thankful, has a way of bringing peace, peace of mind. It brings contentment, which leads to joy. And being ungrateful brings the opposite. It brings anxiety. It brings fear. Our soul is agitated. And again, that's the spirit of the age. And it's going to be increasingly so. And you have everybody's souls or most souls, except for those who are following Jesus, if they're all agitated, there's not a contentment, there's an ungratefulness, there's going to be a problem, isn't there? And that's what we are already observing today. Then there's words like malicious gossips, brutal, refusing to reconcile. Malicious gossips. That means that's just not even an innocent thing. It's gossip with the intent of hurting someone else. And you know what? Gossip, slander, it's now become accepted. You know, lying about others, throwing insults at others. You see it on television, you see it on movies. We're in an election cycle right now. We see it there very much. And it's becoming normal. And it's going to be even more normal. It's not just going to pass away after the election. It's here to stay. And somehow we've been put in this world where these things are happening. This is a very descriptive picture of people in the last days. And by the way, I've just kind of just gone through this briefly. But verse 5, I think this is an important one. It says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. In other words, people who are doing this can even have the appearance of being followers of Christ, but they don't know the power of Christ. You know, they don't know, and it's the power of Christ that leads us to live victorious in the ways that we're talking about right here. And if we are not tapping in, if we're denying the power of Christ, then we're going to sink into the ways and the attitudes of this world. And then the exhortation at the end of verse 5, it says, avoid such men as these. That's a pretty strong warning, isn't it? In other words, we are not to conform to the ways of this world, especially in our conduct and our speech, our attitudes, and our love of self and love of money and love of pleasure. We are called to be different. We have to be different. And that's the future. You know, we can talk about earthquakes and natural disasters and droughts and all that, and all that's going to be it's going to produce a lot of suffering. But in the midst of all that, this is how people start more and more becoming, unless they're holding on to the power of Christ. It says, avoid people such as these. Now, we can still love them. In fact, we are to love them, because we're to even love our enemies. But these are not the ones with whom we will walk. Psalm 101. David, when he was king of, you know, Israel, he wrote this psalm, and I think it's so beautiful here. Let's just kind of start in verse 2. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not fasten its grip on me. And may that be our prayer and our declaration, that the spirit of this age is not going to fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Of course, in the last days, it's not just secretly, it's out in the open. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. My eyes will be upon the faithful land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister me. And he who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. In other words, those are the people that we do not walk with. In other words, we draw a line. and we do not participate in the attitudes and the values of this world. So in these last days, we will see people more and more becoming like this passage in 2 Timothy describes. It'll even leak into the church. Actually, some of the following verses talks about how even so-called believers start acting this way. But we must not allow ourselves to be carried away by the spirit of this age. We must not allow ourselves to pay attention, as 1 Timothy 4 says, to deceitful spirits. Let's determine in our hearts that we will live in the power of Christ, in our conduct, in our speech, in our love, in our motivations. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to live in this age. Lord, in this age, we will see very difficult things happening, but we'll also see the great harvest. We'll see the church becoming the bride that you've called her to be. But it's going to be in the midst of seasons of difficulties. And Lord, one of the things is that people are just going to get harder. They're going to get colder. They're going to get uglier. They're going to become, well, Lord, like this passage says, lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. And Lord, it's real easy for us to sort of sink into that, for us to drift into that. But Lord, we make a determination before you that like David did in Psalm 101, that we are not going to go that path, but we're going to live in the power of Christ. We're not going to deny that power. We're not going to shun it, but we're going to appropriate it in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, just once again, just want to, you know, we're still meeting outside, so we got a lot of announcements, but I know we just really appreciate all those who are joining us online from many, many different places. Understand from different countries, we really appreciate you. For those who are a part of Emmanuel Fellowship and others, if they'd like to, as well, I do want to remind you that you know, we are receiving our gifts, our offerings, our tithes. The best way to do that is probably through our Emmanuel Fellowship app. Also, it's a good way to kind of tap into other messages, other things that we've been doing, and so we invite you to take a look at that. Thank you very much.